This is The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds.
And I'm Jeannie Yandel. Teenage gang members are more likely to become criminals as adults. Now, that's something researchers have known for a long time. But according to a new study from the University of Washington, the long-term consequences of teenage gang membership go much further. Former teen gang members are 3 times more likely to struggle with drug abuse and 2x as likely to receive public assistance as adults. Amanda Gilman is the study's lead author. She says UW researchers have been collecting data for nearly 30 years.
It started in 1985 with 808 elementary school students in the Seattle area. They were oversampled from high-risk schools, so it's higher crime areas, higher levels of poverty. As kids, they and their caregivers were interviewed once a year through age 18, and then in adulthood, they've been interviewed every 3 years.
The study was published in the American Journal of Public Health. Gilman is a doctoral candidate in the School of Social Work at the University of Washington. She talked with our colleague, Marcy Silman.
We identified some research that had looked at the proximal consequences of gang membership, so looking at the immediate consequences of joining a gang in adolescence. And there's quite a bit of research on that in terms of youth who are more likely to be perpetrators or victim of violence, less likely to graduate high school, higher rates of teen pregnancy, etc. We wanted to take it a little bit farther than that and say, now that these young people are adults and probably have careers and families of their own, what is their kind of holistic functioning look like in adulthood? So we looked at 3 areas of adult functioning, which was crime and illegal behavior, which is something that we might expect from this group. But we also wanted to look at health and mental health and then educational and occupational attainment.
So specifically, when it comes to health and mental health, what did you find that differentiates this particular group of people from those of us who might not have engaged in teenage gang behavior?
So we found that those who reported being in gang in adolescence, in adulthood, they reported poorer health, significantly poorer health.
Poorer physical health.
Yeah, physical health than their peers who hadn't joined a gang. And then they also had higher rates of drug abuse or dependence.
Is that something you expected to find?
You know, I think our theory would say that gang membership is an interesting phenomenon that changes one's opportunity structure as they move into the transition into adulthood. And, you know, there are theories that say that a lot of times those kind of changes in opportunity structures will cascade into different domains of functioning in adulthood.
You also found that people who joined and quit gangs in their teens, in other words, didn't hang around for decades in a gang, were not significantly better off than people who stayed into the gangs into their 20s. Why?
So the vast majority of those who joined a gang actually joined and quit in adolescence. So there were a few that at age 27, I think 17 people still reported being in a gang at age 27. And as I said before, we think that what happens is it drastically changes your opportunity structure. Even if you're not in for very long, you start hanging out with a different crowd of kids, you start having a different relationship with your peers, with school. It's very likely that you're going to get involved in the criminal justice system. So we think that it, regardless of how long you're in, it really changes your opportunity structure.
And you can separate out that gang participation from perhaps the fact that these kids at the time they were chosen were from economically disadvantaged parts of the city.
Yes. Yeah, so that is the most common question that we get is how do you know that it was actually gang membership and not the fact that they came from high-risk families, neighborhood schools? So we used a method that I think is really fascinating called propensity score analysis. And what it is so we had 173 youth who joined a gang, and we were able to identify the risk factors, 23 risk factors in the individual, family, peer, school, and neighborhood domain, and actually match those 173 youth with 170 youth from the sample who had very similar risk factors but didn't join a gang. So essentially we had 2 groups where the only difference between them was that one joined a gang and one didn't.
So you really could pinpoint it.
Yeah.
So looking at what you found out, what do you think that public health officials in King County will or can take away from your work?
I think that gang membership is something, and the associated violence with that and criminal justice involvement that's involved in that, I think it's something that people see as being in the realm of criminal justice and only in the realm of criminal justice. But if we look at this, we can see that there are consequences that go beyond that in terms of, you know, now these individuals are more likely to be on welfare and using public assistance, and they're more likely to be in poorer health, which means they might be using more public resources. They have drug addiction problems. Again, they might be using more public resources. So I think it's something that needs to be addressed more holistically in communities and in all realms of community life, including public health.
So just to make sure I understand it, we're talking about the way we approach teens who join gangs, and also the whole gang prevention kind of movement, that how that's been looked at is what you're saying.
Yeah, and my goal with this when publishing this paper was to really motivate prevention scientists and people who want to develop prevention programs to prevent gang kids from joining a gang. And I wanted to motivate the people who develop programs to show them that this is a bigger issue that can last far into adulthood, and to really motivate that effort to find effective gang prevention programs.
Amanda Gilman is a doctoral candidate in the School of Social Work at the University of Washington. Her study on the long-term consequences for teenage gang membership are published in the American Journal of Public Health. She talked with our colleague Marcy Silman.